We are reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text Number 30. Gītam Bhagavata Jñānam Yat Tat Sangrāma Mūrdhani Kālakarma Tamoruddham Punar Adhyagamat Prabhu Gītam Bhagavata Jñānam Yattat Sangrāma Mūrdhani Kālakarma Tamoruddham Punaradhyagamat Prabhu Gītam Bhagavata Jñānam Yattat Sangrāma Mūrdhani Kālakarma Tamoruddham Punaradhyagamat Prabhu Gītam Bhagavata Jñānam Yattat Sangrāma Mūrdhani Kālakarma Tamoruddham Punaradhyagamat Prabhu instructed Bhagavata by the personality of Godhead, Jñānam, transcendental knowledge, Yat, which, Tat, that, Sangrama Murdhani, in the midst of battle, Kala Karma, time and actions, Tamaruddham, enwrapped by such darkness, Puna Adhyagamat, revived them again, Prabhu, the Lord of his senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities and because of His absence, it appeared that Arjun forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case, and again he became Lord of his senses. Purport. A conditioned soul is enwrapped in his fruitive activities by the force of eternal time. But the Supreme Lord, when He incarnates on the earth, is not influenced by Kala or the material conception of past, present and future. The activities of the Lord are eternal and they are manifestations of His Atma Maya or internal potency. All pastimes or activities of the Lord are spiritual in nature, but to the layman they appear to be on the same level with material activities. It so appeared that Arjun and the Lord were engaged in the battle of Kurukshetra, as the other party was also engaged. But factually, the Lord was executing His mission of incarnation and association with His eternal friend Arjun. Therefore, such apparently material activities of Arjun did not drive him away from his transcendental position, but on the contrary, revived his consciousness of the songs of the Lord as he sang them personally. This revival of consciousness is assured by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita 18.65 as follows. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. One should think of the Lord always. The mind should not forget Him. One should become a devotee of the Lord and offer obeisances unto Him. One who lives in that fashion becomes undoubtedly endowed with the blessings of the Lord by achieving the shelter of His lotus feet. There is nothing to doubt about this eternal truth, because Arjun was His confidential friend. The secret was disclosed to him. Arjun had no desire to fight with his relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. He was always engaged in the execution of His mission only. And therefore, after the Lord's departure, he remained in the same transcendental position, even though it appeared that he forgot all the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. And by doing this, one is sure to return back home, back to Godhead. This is the highest perfection of life. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guruh Shri Yutah Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhur Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vansha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. पुणे से हमारे कुछ भक्त आए हैं जिनके लिए मुझे क्लास लेना था कल और आज भी, और समय के अभाव के कारण उनके लिए मैं अलग से क्लास नहीं ले पा रहा था, इसलिए आज का भागवत पाठ अंग्रेजी में होगा। तो जो अंग्रेजी नहीं समझ सकते उनके लिए अनुवाद कर लो। जिनको हिंदी में अनुवाद सुनना है वो रोहित प्रभु के पास जा सकते हैं, और माताओं में से कोई कर सकते हैं। सो दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड पांडवास रिटायर टाइमली। कृष्ण इन भगवद गीता सेज कालोस्मि लोक क्षय कृत प्रवृद्ध हो, ही इज टाइम फैक्टर। इन फैक्ट कृष्णा इज सेइंग दैट दिस टाइम फैक्टर विच इज रिप्रेजेंटिंग कृष्णा इज वन ऑफ द मोस्ट पावरफुल एनर्जीज ऑफ कृष्णा। परास्य शक्तिर विविधैव श्रूयते। कृष्णा ही इज कैरेक्टराइज्ड एज अ पर्सन हु इज पोजेसिंग इन्यूमरेबल शक्तिज। वी सी दैट इन दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड अ सर्टन पर्सन इज कैरेक्टराइज्ड बाय हिज क्वालिटीज और शक्तिज। व्हेन वी कॉल समवन वेल्दी, so he is characterized by his wealth. When we call someone knowledgeable, he is characterized through his knowledge. Gyanavan, dhanavan. So when we are talking about Bhagavan, we are not just talking about six opulences. Generally we define this word Bhagavan as one who possesses six opulences, but that's quite brief description or characterization of Bhagavan. He possesses innumerable opulences. And when we talk of this material world is also one of the Shaktis of the Lord. It is the Bahiranga Shakti. And the Lord has the Antaranga Shakti, the internal potency, wherein He himself resides in the spiritual world along with his spiritual associates. And we are also his Shakti. We are the Tatastha Shakti. So we see every molecular particle, whether you take it on an individual level or whether you take it on a cosmic level, everything is Lord's Shakti. So in that sense, there is nothing material. Because anything emanating from the Supreme Lord has to be spiritual. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very categorically mentions about this material energy as being divine. Daivi hyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Krishna is saying that this Maya energy, this mic energy of mine, Krishna is saying, is divine, it's Daivi. So then, why do we call it material? We generally say that this is the material energy. Yes, of course, it is made up of material elements. And these material elements, they have their manifestations and their unmanifestations. The material elements manifest at a certain time and they become unmanifested at another time. So it is the time factor which plays its role in between in regards to the manifestation and unmanifestation of the elements, which means even our material bodies, which are made up of all these elements. And therefore, the cataclysms of time plays such an important role in making things temporary. So this material world is eternal as the spiritual world is eternal. But because of the time factor, it becomes temporary. And therefore, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't say that it is dukhalayam and mithya. He says that this material world is dukhalayam and ashashvatam, which means it always exists, but its manifestations are temporal in nature, transient in nature. And what makes this temporary is the time factor. So we see time factor working in this material world. In fact, time factor is the only ruler of this material world. People might say that one time there was a dictator called Hitler, and there was this Alexander the Great, and there were empires, so many different kingdoms and kings and monarchs and rulers and dictators, but they are nothing, they are tiny, puny, little flapping jivas, they say, in front of time factor, which is a real ruler. And time factor is so powerful that these people who at a certain point of time had so much influence and power, nobody even talks about them. Nobody even remembers them. Because not only were they influenced by time, but the present people are also influenced by time that they forget. Our memories are influenced by time. In our history lessons, we might have mugged up that what was the era of Hitler, what was the Roman Empire, what was their era, all those, you know, history lessons we might have learnt for how long? Just before the exam. Just before the exam, that time period again. And when that was over, finished. Everything got erased. Now if I ask you, do you remember all those dates? Of, you know, all these so-called kings of their times, when they took birth and when they died, when they were manifest and when they became unmanifest. All of that in our memory has become unmanifest. And that's because of the influence of time. So herein we are reading about Pandavas retiring timely. The title of this chapter itself speaks about the time factor. So on an individual level, time factor works as we take on this material body in this material world. What are the six changes we often hear about? As far as this material body is concerned, the six changes of this material body is nothing but the play of time. We take birth. That's the first change. And all these changes are in relation with the soul. It is the soul which is observing these changes within the material body. The material body is dead. The material body cannot experience these things. It is the soul which is experiencing under false ego these changes of the material body. So the soul experiences birth, and the beginning is the most painful experience for the soul. Srimad Bhagavatam explains the third canto that what that jiva has to undergo just before birth. Forget about the process of birth. But before birth, the jiva is constricted within the womb of its mother. And it doesn't even know that it's its mother. It's not that the jiva knows that, you know, this particular body is my mother's body. And she's the one who is going to take care of me for the rest of my life. He's totally in ignorance. Abodha jata. He's totally in a stupor, totally oblivious to what's around him. The only thing the embryo is experiencing or is conscious of is the pain. The pain, that's the only thing which the embryo is conscious of. And what to speak of the process of birth. The process of birth is so painful, both the child and the mother are screaming. It's not simply just some ordinary cry. And therefore it is called labor pain. It's never called labor pleasure. Others, they take pleasure when someone takes birth. But for the mother and the child, it's the most traumatic experience. And it's the child, Srimad Bhagavatam mentions, it's the child who takes a pledge, an oath, that I will never ever put myself in such a situation. Oh my Lord, please take me out of this precarious condition. He prays unto the Lord and he takes this vow that I made this mistake because of which I had to undergo this traumatic life, 9 months. Now, I'll make sure, oh my Lord, you just relieve me from this particular situation. I'll make sure I'll just surrender unto you. We all did that. We all prayed like that. How many of us we remember? When we came out, everyone was focusing on us. Yeah, we were all waiting for you since 9 months. And then we look at everyone, and they're all waiting for me. The whole focus is on that child. What the child is doing now. The child is smiling. The child is crying. The child is not doing anything. The child is doing everything. What should be the name of the child? And everyone, whoever looks at that child, tries to fondle that child, tries to make feel that child comfortable and happy. Everyone, the entire family is just focusing on the luxury and comfort of that child. So what happens to the child when the child realizes that, wow, I am the king of the house, it seems. I was thinking that I have been trashed into some kind of abominable place for those 9 months. But herein, well, it seems like, you know, everyone is just focusing on me. I am the cynosure of everyone. So the ego starts to inflate right from that time. You and he forgets. Or because of all those comforts, he forgets that what vows he had taken. He forgets everything. And again, life goes on. Life goes on in that forgetfulness, in that ignorance. So the first cataclysm of time, this change of time, is the birth. And what is the birth? If you look into this birth factor, the body is dead and the soul is unborn. So who takes birth? Yes, the intelligentsia from Pune. How would you put your logic to this? If the body is dead and the soul is unborn, what's happening? You celebrate your birthdays? Yes. Consciousness is part of the soul. That's the symptom of the soul. It always remains with the soul. Yeah. But false ego itself is material. Who gets the medium? The soul gets a medium to join what? Again enjoy the sense. So it's a concept. Taking birth is a concept. Yes. That's the right word. Manifestation. It's a manifestation. Wow. You had something? So the birth is a misidentification. So all of us sitting over here, you know, we, on our birthdays, we misidentified. And we are continuing every year celebrating our misidentification, you know, with candles and cakes and balloons and, you know, songs. It's just, time factor, it is working so imperceptibly that things appear to be so tangible in front of us, like something like the body taking birth. But according to science, you know, energy can never be destroyed. Am I right? It can only be transferred. So what do we see? Our bodies are made up of five elements. And then when someone dies, technically we might call it death. So this body is cremated. So what happens to the body then? Again, this huge manifestation of the body turns into ashes. And goes where? Again, it goes into the same elements which this cosmos is made up of. So we have our individual bodies which are made up of five elements. And we have the cosmic five elements. We have the Pancha Mahabhut and the Pancha Mahamahabhut. You know, we have Mahaprasad and Mahamahaprasad. You know, Socrates, that great philosopher, he used a logic in trying to refute the atheistic people of his time. And he said that you individually have certain elements within you, and you have those same elements on a cosmic level. So he is putting forth this argument, refuting atheism, and he is saying that you have water element on an individual level and you see water element on a cosmic level. You have fire element on an individual level, you have fire element on a cosmic level. You have ether element, and all these elements he is enlisting. And then he goes on to ask these atheistic philosophers that, do you have intelligence on an individual level? If you go further, breaking all the elements, going into the subtler aspect of the elements, he's asking, since you are philosophers, definitely you must be having intelligence, as you are exercising your intelligence to say that God doesn't exist. So he's asking that, do you have intelligence on an individual level? And they all say yes. So then why do you stop your equation here? That if there is water element on an individual level and also it's available on the cosmic level, if you go further, your intelligence is on an individual level, there has to be cosmic intelligence. Which means, that's God. You might not name it, as it is said that, a rose by any name smells the same. There is an English saying, a rose by any name smells the same. If I put in front of your nose a rose flower and tell you, this is lily, I might give any name, but your nose is not smelling lily then. Your nose is smelling rose. So he's saying, you may call it cosmic intelligence, someone may call it supernatural intelligence. You know, people have so many names for God that, O Roshni, that divine light, you know, what tube light, neon light, halogen light, which light, some light. So people, you know, have so many of their definitions, whatever you may call it, it is something beyond you. So when we are talking about the five elements our body which is made up of, and we see on a cosmic level these five elements. So it is nothing but manifestation and unmanifestation of these elements. Like this structure. This structure is also made up of five elements. So some people came together and these five elements were scattered all around somewhere and they brought together. What is this structure made up of? It's made up of brick, it's made up of some earth, cement, iron, water. If you break down all these elements, again, these elements you might not be able to see with your naked eye, but now you can see, it's nothing but these five elements coming together. So when we are talking about birth, it's nothing but these five elements coming together, just like these five elements, you know, it's like birth of a big, huge body, this particular room. And we have this room. There's also a room. And again, it is also, in fact, 11th canto speaks about it. In the 11th canto, this body is compared to, you know, some kind of civil engineering structure. We have any civil engineers here? Just like in civil engineering, you know, any structure is erected using, you know, these columns and beams and cross beams, and you have, you know, the cement and the brick and all these things which is put in that. How a column is made, you know, like, how a pillar is made. It's nothing but, these steel rods, and then usme mal dala, cement. And then you see, you know, a opaque column here. So Bhagavatam explains that our physical bodies are also something like that. The skeleton inside is nothing but cross beams, beams, column. And that's what it's called, vertebral column. And this is called the rib cage. You know, the skeleton over here, the chest part is called the rib cage. So it's like, you know, it's holding what? It's holding this earth element. It's like, you know, if you call this as a cement, the main mal, which has gone in. And then, you know, in order to make something solidified, you know, there's something called curing. You know, curing? Curing is, you give a fire treatment. So there is fire treatment going on inside. You know, curing. And, you know, there is a water element which solidifies, makes it. And, you know, when the beams and the cross beams become weak, old age, when they become weak and, what do you call that, rheumatism, arthritis, doctors all say. So, you know, what's happening is that the rods inside are getting worn out. And therefore it can't hold the external structure. And what is death? The column crumbling down. Nice civil engineering lessons we are hearing here from Srimad Bhagavatam. So then we call it that the second change on an individual level is then we grow. So the body starts to grow. Now, this is of course a change that the time factor is influencing and we cannot perceive. Could we perceive our own growth? When somebody else looks at us, you know, like say 10 years from now, hey, tum itna bada ho gaya. You have grown so big. And you look at yourself, really? We don't even realize that how fast we have grown. We were all like this child, you know, with our guardians and, you know, and just oblivious, frolicking around and all these things. And we didn't realize that when, you know, that little infant body has grown up into such a huge mammoth size creature. Now, Bhagavatam 11th canto explains that how time factor influences our physical bodies, in which we see that these physical bodies are growing. The example is given of a candle, flame of a candle. When you see flame of a candle, you see a constant flame. You see a constant flame, unbroken, constant flame of that candle. But it's not like that. Practically, at every nanosecond or whatever you can break up further, that particular flame is getting extinguished and getting lighted. Getting extinguished, getting lighted. But it is happening so fast that our eyes cannot perceive it. So the flame of the candle is never constant. It appears to our eyes that it is constant. Another example is given. When you look at a flowing river, you see that the water is constant in front of your eyes. But practically at every moment, the water molecules are coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. But for the eyes, it appears as if it is something very constant. If you take a lighted incense stick, agarbatti, or sometimes, you know, in Diwali they play with the full jhadi, that's what they call. So if you move it vigorously in a circular motion, what do you see? you see fiery circles. But, you know, it's just a point. That lighted incense thing is just a point. It's not a circle. But you see a fiery circle. So that's how the time factor is working, that we are not able to perceive how, just like right now, are you able to perceive that the earth is rotating? Now, what is the speed of earth's rotation? At what speed it goes? Anyone knows? Huh? What is that? 16? 1600? Ah, that's too slow. Huh? Yeah, something too bombastic. 6 raised to 10. 6 into 10 raised to 28. Kilometers per second. Understood? One thing we understand, it's going at a great speed. Earth is moving at a great speed. Can you perceive right now, as you are sitting comfortably? Can you perceive that you are also moving along with the movement of the earth? In fact, Bhagavatam classes are the places where, you know, the only movement you realize is the movement of the eyelids going down. And sometimes along with the eyelids, you know, then your vertebral column, you know, and it appears as if, you know, all of a sudden, why, you have started paying obeisances. So sometimes out of reverence to the speaker, that the speaker is sitting over there, so I should keep paying my obeisances. So we keep going down. Now, the movements of this planet, although it is moving at such fast pace, sometimes, what to speak of the earth planet, sometimes when you are traveling by a plane, you don't even realize that the plane is moving. You know, initially when it takes off and, you know, during landing, you feel, you know, all those jerks and, you know, the announcements are made, you know, put on your seat belt, fasten it. Then you realize that, you know, you are sitting in a plane. Of course, you know, Indian Railways, you realize, you know, so much of movement, you know, you realize that, gaadi chal rahi hai. But planes, sometimes you don't even realize. You think that, you know, like in our childhood, one of our teachers, he used to, you know, sometimes crack some jokes with us before his classes. So one time he was telling that there was one Sardarji, and he first time was traveling by an airplane. And he was told by everyone, you know, that airplane, it goes up. That was the first thing he was told. And then he was told that when you are up, sitting in the airplane, when you look down, you will see that everyone looks like ants. All human beings, they look like little ants crawling, you know, on the surface down below. And the vehicles, they look like, you know, little boxes, toy cars moving here and there. So first time he's sitting, and the passenger next to him, he immediately tells to the passenger, he's looking out from the window, and he tells to the passenger, just see those human beings looking like ants. Just see, just see. And the co-passenger, he looks outside and he tells to him, they are real ants. the plane hasn't taken off. So what to speak of perceiving the earth's movement? Sometimes when we are in an airplane, we can't even perceive whether the airplane is going in which direction. Now, our growth, which is the second change, is also happening because of the time factor. So imperceptibly. Then, what's the next change? The third change. After growth, stability. There is some kind of stability. And we feel that that particular period is such a long period that after our teenage years, till the midlife crisis or maybe a little later on, that phase of someone, it appears to be just going on and on and on. Stability. So, that's considered to be another kind of change, but what's happening is that we are simply inching towards death, the final change. So, again, it's like, an eagle. If you have seen the flight of an eagle, the eagle flaps its wings, then it just remains as if it's stable. And it's floating and just coasting along. But someone who knows that the eagle time again has to keep flapping. And it flaps and then it just remains stable. That stability is dependent on its flapping off and on. So our stability is also dependent on so many things. We have to slog hard to earn money, to eat food, to cook that food and maintain our bodies, and then we see, I'm still breathing. So, this is the third change, again influenced by the time factor, stability. And then, what's the next change? The fourth change? We produce byproducts. Again, that, this set of five elements give rise to another set of five elements. So, we have our miniature forms coming out. And therefore, it becomes such a intense experience of affection. Because, when parents, what is that attachment that the parents have for the child? It's like, it has come from me. It's my part. And, they also discuss that. See, eyes are like me. The nose is like you. Are ekdam baap pe gaya. Like that, they say. Ekdam maa pe gaya. So then they keep observing. Sometimes it's, and sometimes you see twins coming out. Oh, what about that then? Like, both are alike. Everything is same. You can't even distinguish. It's like, vehicles coming out from the same assembly line. In automobile industry, Tata Motors. It's the same vehicles, They all look alike. All Tata cars, they look alike. Whether they are nano or whether they are macro or whatever. They all look alike. So then, twins are coming out and they are looking alike. Coming out from the same mold. So we are talking about
how this another change is a change which is a very, very significant change which the soul is experiencing. Now can you imagine, already the soul is enwrapped within the five elements, and now that engagement of the soul increases in regards to the expansions of the five elements. So when one set of five elements expands from this set of five elements, sorry I am using this language, but this is what the scriptures say, that what is that child? The child is nothing but another set of five elements which has broken from this set of five elements. And the soul becomes so much attached to that set of five elements now. Already it was attached to this set of five elements. Then it became attached to another set of five elements. And those two sets of five elements, then they produce another set of five elements. And then these two sets of five elements became attached to another one set of five elements. And then that one set of five elements grows up and produces another set of five elements. Like our recent Prerana, I was talking about this, that one science teacher is asking the student, that tell me the difference between discovery and invention. So the child says, my father discovered my mother and both invented me. So, you know, as, you know, the set of five elements are increasing, sometimes we see that the set of five elements are increasing to such a level that the attachment is going deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, sometimes it is seen that a person who might be 90 years old and he's waiting that, you know, the great-great-grandson, when will he get married? Like, you know, in our entire lineage, in my little lineage of my family, somehow I took this decision of getting into the Brahmachari Ashram. And my father, he had five brothers and two sisters and innumerable children from them and innumerable grandchildren from them. Just my father had four children, and you know, all of them also then started to produce other children. So out of this entire wide range of the relatives, you know, like my grandmother having some six or seven children, and they having offshoots of so many other children and all of that. But when my grandmother came to know that one amongst this wide range has become a brahmachari, immediately she came to the temple in Bombay. And she was 101. My grandmother left her body when she was 102. She was 101 years old. She couldn't even see me. She was not able to, barely she was able to see anything. And when she met me, her only question was, beta shaadi nahi karega. So I was thinking, just see, the attachment within the five elements have gone so far. One of our senior sannyasis, he was mentioning that in his family, it was a huge family. Parents having something like 13 children. bigger than a cricket team. And whenever they would sit for their meals, they had a big courtyard outside of their house, and you know, everyone would line up and sit to take their meals. And it was not an exaggeration that when people walking on the street would see the entire family sitting for say a lunch or dinner outside in their courtyard, they would think that this is a restaurant. And they would also join, thinking that so many people sitting, you know, outside in a porch, in a courtyard, might be some kind of restaurant. So this huge family, and he was, I think, the 12th in number, the 12th player. He was the 12th player or the 13th player, and he came in contact with devotees, and he, you know, decided to join as a brahmachari, and, you know, the parents, the mother is asking, what is this? You have decided to remain a celibate, a monk, in this renounced order of life, not wanting to get married. What about our family? Who will further our family? He said, mother, there are 13. Apart from me, there are 12 others. And, you know, they are there to further this dynasty of yours. This glorious dynasty. People are very much attached to their khandan. Khandan ka naam roshan karo. So, you know, he was telling that there are so many to, you know, further the family. No, but we want you. We want you also to do that. So the fourth level of change is that, you know, the soul goes so much deeper into the five elements as the expansions of the five elements keeps taking place. And then the fifth is dwindling. Then the five elements, they start to, the columns, the cross beams and the other structure starts crumbling down. And that's another change the soul experiences then. And the final is death. So therefore, the scriptures, they implore upon us that before that final change takes place, bring about a change within. We have to bring about a change within, because we cannot do anything about these changes which are taking place. We cannot do anything. It's beyond our control. It's not that, you know, when we are young, we can control that our body should not age now. Some years ago in Bombay, there were these advertisements about a soap. Age control soap. And they were advertising that if you apply this soap, it will control your age. Now, whose age? The manufacturers, I think so. So age control soap. But whether we apply some age control soap or whether we take some age control pill or some lotion or even go to any beauty parlor or any these kind of places, try to, you know, hide our old age. But we cannot control. It's fast moving. It's fast moving towards death. So therefore, the scriptures, they implore upon us that before that final change, we have to bring about this change within. And therefore, here in this title of this chapter, Pandavas retire timely. What does that mean? That before the body retires, they have retired timely. And this is what every single human being has to learn through these Mahajans, how to retire timely. In order to retire timely, we have to understand the influence of the time factor before retirement. Now, time, it plays such an important role that one particular thing, but if it is not used timely, can give the opposite effect. Like for example, say rice. Every day we eat rice, we eat grains. Now rice is something which nourishes our body. Cooked rice, it nourishes our body. But the same rice, if you eat at a different time, the same rice, if you keep it for 4 days, and it becomes decomposed, that decomposed rice turns into poison. Rather than nourishing the body will be perished, not nourished. So, is the rice good or bad? If I ask you. If I ask you, somebody has died. Say for example, someone has died. And people are asking, what is the reason for his death? He ate rice. It's in the newspaper. 10 people die eating rice. It appears to be unusual. There are millions of people eating rice. What to speak if you go into Bengal or South India? Mountains of rice being consumed. So, you know, if this is the news, say in some South Indian state, that people died out of eating rice, you know, it appears to be controversial. But then you have to know what time did they eat that rice? Did they eat it fresh or when it had turned into poison? So here then the time factor is playing its role. So we see that this is just one example of the same thing, but used at a different time gives the opposite effect. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about time factor. That how this commodity, this material body, it has to be used timely. Kaumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, how timely it has to be used? When one is 5 years old. From that time, one should begin to use it properly. Not that when it becomes decomposed, decayed, obsolete, dysfunctional, decrepit, then we offer it to Krishna. Krishna, anyways, now it's no more functional for me. You can use it now for your service. It happens. Many times when people come to temple, they give to God the most discarded items. If you open the Dan Peti of any temple, what kind of currency notes you will find? RBI bhi jo nahi lega. Everything is falling apart. No rickshaw driver, no taxi driver, no kirana wala, no one is going to take. And then they say, but God will take. He is merciful. And they justify. He is not like ordinary rickshaw wala. He is not like taxi wala. You know, He is the Supreme Lord. So, He can take this phata, purana, gala, sada, note. So many times that mentality, it just rubs on our consciousness in future also about our life. That, you know, when this life also becomes totally decomposed, that is the time we think of offering it to God. So Prahlad Maharaj says, that is not the time. The time is when you are 5 years old. Use it timely. As Pandavas are retiring, timely. So using it timely and retiring from other materialistic activities timely. What other examples we have in our scriptures in regards to things or situations when they were used timely and things and situations when they were used untimely? The consequences. Parikshit Maharaj. Again, the time factor was there. What was the time factor? 7 days. So he used those 7 days timely. In America, there was one TV serial which became very famous, in which the hero, he was diagnosed of a certain disease, a terminal disease, and he had only 6 months. So every episode, they were showing how it's a fatal disease, he's going to die in 6 months. So how every episode is enjoying. One episode is enjoying in the Hawaiian Islands. One episode he is enjoying in the Caribbean Islands. One episode he is, in the Swiss Alps and all these places enjoying. So that serial became so popular, this man before his death is simply full-blown enjoyment going on. And they were all thinking that, wow, what a wonderful life this person is having just before his death. So according to the storyline, he was supposed to die after 6 months. But public demand, hey, we don't want this serial to be stopped. We want that it should continue. So the director of the serial, he gave a twist to the story that some magical doctor came up. And this magical doctor, he prolonged his life for another 6 months. Why? Because the public wanted to watch that serial for another 6 months. So the storyline was changed and he was given some kind of amrit, temporary thing, another 6 months. So this is what the materialistic civilization is fond of. That before your death, enjoy. And therefore, they also say, on the same lines as we say, they also say, this material world is asashvatam. Material body is asashvatam. Temporary. You will die anytime. Therefore, what you should do? One time, there was one of our Prerna, one of our Prerna programs, we had advertised in the radio channels of Bombay. That, so many people, they hear these radio channels, Mirchi, that one, Radio Mirchi. So we had one acquaintance who was like, that, what do you call that, jockey? RJ, yeah, radio jockey. No, that's different. It's called radio jockey. So he's the one who, advertises and about all the programs. I know these radio channels nowadays, these radio jockeys are people who mesmerize by the way they speak. And just speaking and people are mesmerized by the way they present the programs, upcoming programs and all these things, And they speak any nonsense under earth. Any nonsense which goes on. So we wanted to hear whether the Prerna publicity they are doing. So somebody brought, this little instrument, and he put on that channel. And particular time it was supposed to come. So some time before, he put it on. So we had to hear the other nonsense also. And it was the time when the tsunami had struck. And so many millions had died in that tsunami. So this radio jockey, I heard this radio jockey is talking about the tsunami. So he's saying, Sara Vishwane kya dekha? Ki tsunami jo ki itni vishal leher समुद्र से इतनी विशाल लहर उत्पन्न हुई
और ये सारा विश्व
भौचक्का रह गया इस सुनामी को देखते हुए। जब ये सुनामी आ रही थी तो सभी अचरज में पड़ गए, क्या करें, कैसे बचाएं, यहां वहां भागने लगे। तो ये सुनामी, वैज्ञानिक कहते हैं कि कभी भी सुनामी फिर से आ सकती है, समुद्र में ये ऐसी लहर फिर से उठ सकती है और कभी भी इतने सारे लोग मर सकते हैं, तो सुनामी आने से पहले अपने गर्लफ्रेंड को प्रपोज कर दो।
That was the outcome of his realization of the tsunami.
That any time such a catastrophic event can take place.
So do what? Propose to your girlfriend before both of you die in tsunami.
So we see that people in this material world, they are also conscious of the time factor.
But what is the viewpoint?
Charvak Muni is saying, Bhasmi Bhutasya Dehasya. He is saying the right thing. This body will turn into ashes. It's a scriptural statement. It's one of the absolute truth. The body turns into ashes. But he says, the body turns into ashes. That's right. But before it turns into ashes, ash karo. Enjoy. Enjoy this life. But when Narad Muni is telling to Nalkor and Manigreve about the same principle that body turns into ashes, he is not saying that you continue in Mandakini Ganga, your naked dance. He is warning. So, we see that Parikshit Maharaj. That Parikshit Maharaj, he had 7 days. And it's not that those 7 days he told to all of his ministers, hey, bring all the big, great foods for me to eat. I won't be able to survive after 7 days. So my favorites, you should bring my favorites. Let me enjoy all the delights, the kingly delights concentrated in those 7 days now. What did he do? Immediately when he came to know that he has 7 days to live, retiring timely. Following his predecessors. We'll come to that. Questions. So now, Parikshit Maharaj. That's one example. Parikshit Maharaj retiring timely. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a negative example of someone who didn't retire timely. That's Dhritarashtra. So, he was a person who was like, you know, like, leech hota na leech. Chipak jata chhodta nahi. He was, you know, like a leech. Latching on to what? This throne of Hastinapur. And it was Vidur who had to forcefully take him out of, and it was a forced retirement which was given, you know, to Dhritarashtra. Now, when we are talking about how the time influences, we have the episode of Kashyap and Diti. If you know about in the 7th canto, that Kashyap and Diti, they united to conceive a child, but at a wrong time. It was at a wrong time. And Kashyap Muni warned Diti that you want to conceive a child through me, but this is not the right time. They were legitimate husband and wife. So herein we can see that if everything else, the externals are bona fide, but even if this one thing, the time factor, is not taken into consideration. That was the only thing which Kashyap Muni, he warned to Diti, the time factor. This is not the time. But Diti, she couldn't wait. And then what was the result? Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. One act done untimely. So therefore, we should not take this time factor very casually. Because whatever we are doing at a certain time is influencing our future time. So therefore in Krishna consciousness, what we do right now, this moment, will decide what will be our state of consciousness the next moment. What will be the state of our consciousness the moment after that, the moment after that, the moment after that. So, we are talking about how our life is nothing but combination of moments. How the time is calculated here. And therefore in Krishna consciousness, if we do not time our Krishna consciousness properly, and how does our Krishna consciousness becomes untimely? When we postpone, procrastinate. I will surrender to you, Krishna. But not now. There was one Christian priest, Saint Augustine, and he prayed to the Almighty. That, oh Almighty, please free me from lust, but not now. Let me enjoy for a while and then free me from lust after that. So we also pray, oh my Lord, free me from lust, free me from these attachments. But, you know, it's like, you know, Narova, Kunjarova, that kind of person. That, not now, we don't call it loudly, you know, silently, within our mind. Free me from lust, not now. So we are in a stage, we want to get freed from lust. We want to get freed from all these material desires and attachments. But if Krishna comes right now to take away all that lust, then, Krishna, I never knew you are so quick. I thought you take birth in India, so Indian standard time you'll follow. IST, Indian stretchable time. So you'll come according to that particular time, but you are so quick. And as he said, Gajendra Moksha, again, Krishna, he appeared before Gajendra could finish his prayers. Krishna came to deliver Gajendra. Timely. Gajendra was timely, the Lord was timely. Both were timely. So in our Krishna consciousness also, we have to use the time factor in the service of Krishna. Because one good thing about this material world is that we have the time factor in front of us, which is the ultimate killer we can turn into our ultimate liberator. Because at the end of our life, that final change, the sixth change, will decide how we have used the time. That's the ultimate killer, the time when it uses its brahmastra to kill. You know, it's already killing right now also. We don't realize it. So that is the time when it will be decided how did we use our life. So therefore, there is nothing called postponement in Krishna consciousness. There is nothing called a post-dated surrender check to Krishna. You know the post-dated checks? So we can't sign a post-dated surrender check. You know, in the column of the figures, you write, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Tvam Ekam Sharanam. We write that, full verse, 18.66. But Krishna looks at the date. Date is, you know, 9th March 2050. So, there is no post-dated checks. We can't postpone our surrender. We have to do it right now. If we surrender right now, because time factor never gives a post-dated check to us. The time factor doesn't inform us that I'm going to work upon your case so many years later. The time factor takes its toll, and it can at any moment. It could be the next moment. It could be this moment. What do we think? Come on, Prabhuji, how can you say something like that? You know, we have planned out so many things. I've given, you know, the interview, the job interview, and you know, waiting for the call letter, and already, you know, looked a girl also, and a house also, and so many things planned out. So do you think that time factor will wait until we finish all that? In the Bhagavatam, the example is given that time factor is like Kala Sarpa. The snake doesn't wait for the rat. In fact, it is said that the rat is so foolish that the rat makes its holes. And the snake waits until the rat finishes the hole, kills the rat, lives in that snake, in that rat hole. So it is said, Kal Sarpa is even more deadlier, that at least that snake allows that rat to make that hole, because the snake wants to live. So it says, okay, you dig that hole and then I'll kill you. So I'll have a nice meal also and a place to take rest also, LSD. I need some, you know, some place to take my LSD after I eat such a big creature like you. So snake turning to the rat. But time factor will not even wait for that. So that is the power of time. If the time factor is so cruel, why are we lenient towards sense gratification? Why are we lenient towards our surrender? It has to happen now, or it may never come. As I say, do it now. People, they have that t-shirt, they roam around with that t-shirt. Just do it. So that's what, when we call of surrender to Krishna, just do it right now. Krishna didn't tell to Arjuna, after you fight the war, then you surrender unto me. Let's talk about that later. No, Krishna said, right now. And that's what Arjuna did. Right then and there, on the battlefield, on the chariot, then and there, Arjuna surrendered. And that is what is the title of this chapter, that Pandavas retire timely. They got that kingdom after such a long extraneous efforts and so much time. It's not that they were discussing, itne samay baad ye mila, thoda to aur jeete the. Prabhupada, in one of his Hindi lectures, he's talking about Pandavas retired timely. And he's saying that aajkal ke jo rajneta hain, wo khursi chhodne ko tayyar nahi. Jab tak goli se nahi maar diya jata. Prabhupada is saying, जब तक गोली से नहीं मार दिया जाता कुर्सी नहीं छोड़ते, फिर भी वो कुर्सी पे ही मरेंगे, गोली अंदर है कुर्सी को पकड़ कर मरेंगे। सो हियरिन वी कैन सी दैट हाउ पांडवस दे गॉट दैट किंगडम आफ्टर सो मच ऑफ यू नो ऑल द सीन एंड द शो एंड रनिंग अराउंड एंड ऑल दैट, बट व्हेन इट टाइम केम दे रियलाइज दिस इज द टाइम, हैंड इट ओवर, रिटायर। एंड द सेम विद प्रभुपाद, प्रभुपाद ऑल्सो ही वर्क सो हार्ड टू बिल्ड अप दिस इस्कॉन सोसाइटी एंड व्हेन इट वॉज इन इट्स पीक ऑफ इट्स सक्सेस प्रभुपाद ऑल्सो डिटैच्ड, ही लेफ्ट एवरीथिंग एंड देन ही सेड कुछ इच्छा नहीं, ही लेफ्ट एवरीथिंग। And that is how we learn from these great souls like Bhishma Pitama retiring timely, Pandavas retiring timely, Parikshit Maharaj retiring timely, Srila Prabhupada who retired timely. And Prahlad Maharaj is asking us that before our time comes, let us use this time in hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and chanting His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have the example of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, when that prostitute came, Haridas Thakur told to that prostitute, let me finish my rounds. So, what Haridas Thakur is teaching is that if we are always observed and absorbed in surrendering to Krishna, Maya Devi can never touch us. That if we always have some engagement in Krishna consciousness, as Haridas Thakur is showing, that prostitute is offering herself, Haridas Thakur is saying, let me finish my Krishna conscious engagement, which never finished. Which means, if in our case, when something like that is proposed to us, what would be our condition? Are every day I am doing Solamala. I can do it tomorrow also. Yes, yes. What do you have to say? So therefore, we should always have some pending rounds. Which means that always we should be chanting. That when the attack of Maya comes, we should be able to tell Maya that I have some rounds left. I have some rounds left, some rounds left. So therefore, although we may have over 16 rounds, so Prabhupada said, 16 rounds on beads and innumerable rounds off the beads. So therefore we have to always have this engagement total, keeping ourselves so busy. Like Jayanand Prabhu, whenever he was asked that how do we come out of these temptations of Maya, he said, I don't have time to think of all that. He was so busy that he didn't even have time to think that there are any temptations of Maya. So that should be the absorption in Krishna consciousness. And that is the perfect utilization of time. And as Pandavas are teaching us, retiring timely. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions anyone has? So I think we should end the class timely. You have a question? Okay. You raised your hand timely.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for so giving a nice class on time. We want to ask one thing. With time and again, we hear that soul is Satchidanand. And
what is that?
Soul is Satchidanand.
Okay, yeah.
Now we have known that soul is Satchitanand, but why again I feel, sleepy in chanting, I don't find interest in spiritual life. Now I have known that soul is Satchitanand, it has back to Godhead. We may say that mind is traveling, but anyhow, mind is again the manifestation through soul only. So why soul is not utilizing its power every time that I am Satchitanand, he should do this only?
You know that soul is Satchitanand. You have to realize that now. There is a difference between knowing something and realizing something. Why we feel sleepy? Because we have not realized that we are Satchitanand as yet. So, simply knowing something, it doesn't solve the problem, it's just the beginning of the solution maybe. Just like you know that Delhi is 1,000 kilometers from here. Simply knowing will not bring you to Delhi. You have to do something and you have to make it happen that you reach Delhi crossing those 1,000 kilometers. So knowledge is a very insignificant portion of realizing our spiritual identity. And therefore, you know, Arjun, he got the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But Arjun lived Bhagavad Gita after hearing, and that was the glorious part of Arjun. So Arjun is not glorified simply as a person who heard Gita. He is not glorified as a person who became, you know, a repository of knowledge. Arjun is glorified for practice of that knowledge. So when we practice to live on the platform of soul, then that practice will give us realization, and that realization will make sure that we can see that soul as Satchidananda then. Not simply know it, but we can perceive it, realize it. That is what the goal is of everyone. Is it okay? Does the pure devotee feel any pain of the body? Yes, pain is felt, but he is not affected by it. Again, these are the two things. Feeling pain and getting affected by pain. Like small child, when you pinch a small child, the small child gets so much affected that immediately starts screaming, crying. When that same child grows up and there is some discomfort somewhere, or if somebody pinches, now if somebody pinches you, will you start screaming loudly, crying? Are you feeling the pain? You are feeling the pain, but you are not getting affected as you were when you were little infant baby. So which means, what has happened within you? You have matured. What has matured in you? Your skin? No. That's something very insignificant, that, you know, the skin has become, maybe it was very delicate when you were infant babies. But more than that, it's the internal maturity which has come about, which is making sure that you are not getting affected. So yes, the material body will undergo the changes, even in someone who is on a very pure platform. But he doesn't get affected by that. He remains oblivious to all that. Okay? So the time has come. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we'd like to thank all these effulgent Vaishnavas who have come from Sri Puna Dham and who have graced us.
And they'll be leaving this afternoon, 3 o'clock. And we hope, pray and wish that you come again to give your wonderful lively association so that we can also become enthusiastic and lively in Krishna consciousness like all of you. So let us thank this wonderful group of devotees by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Thank you for visiting us. Hare Krishna.